Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So pumped about the justice that is raining down. I think about it, and we're not the only ones.
Right.
And matter of fact, we call in harmony with Mike Bickle, Lou Engle, International House of Prayer, Kansas City, and call into the rhythm of a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And for over 5 years, maybe, for the PFC.
Since 2009.
Since 2009.
Right.
Every Monday for 24 hours, 3 hour shifts, not praying for the whole 24 hours, that we've been just praying and focusing on, fellowshipping with God and his body and just allowing that to come over us, the fear of the Lord and endurance and love and so many things we focused on, the apostolic understanding, praying apostolically over the church and over us. And if you don't know this, we've been praying for you for 5 years.
Yes.
We've been praying for our president and his wife, Michelle, and his children.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been praying protection over him and them, and that God would just speak to him and he would hear the voice of the Lord and that our president would be saved.
That's right.
We've been praying over governors. We've been praying over the body. We've been praying, for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And one prayer that we've been praying, and it was birthed out of the heart of Lou Engle, and I believe it was based in the call in Washington, D.C., which is the Malachi mandate, which harmonizes with all those who are preparing the way of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, that about preparing the way of the Lord. The Lord was sending the spirit of Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. And out of that birth, I'm not going to pray it like Blue Engle. Dear God! Dear God! I don't know how his voice even works.
I don't know how he does that.
I'm glad he does. We heard him all the way to here.
Yeah.
And Amber, by the way, Amber went to school with his son when they were in the IHOP KC there, and he was there. But the prayer is, God, end abortion, send revival.
Mm.
End abortion, send revival.
Yeah.
And for so long, we've been looking at darkness and murder and depravity in regards to the life, the quality of life, and you're thinking over, it's like, really? Are you having a conversation with me about you just took your child's life and it's like nothing, and you think after a while, you just start thinking, but you pray, you still pray, dear God, end abortion, send revival for 5 years for us, and many, many years for others. And maybe you've been praying as well, but we feel so often with the charismatic Pentecostal, one of the major moves in the earth today is, fall prey to the, I'm just being spirit-led, okay, this is spirit-led, pray continually. So think about it, just setting up a time once a week that you focus on prayers other than me, mine, ours, and stuff, things and all that. And that's what we begin to do. And we're still praying that God would just mature us in that and just patiently going, give us a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and just going after you and believing for 7 days of that, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
But in that is so to see the justice come down that suddenly in Minnesota, I believe, was the Dr. Gosnell?
Philadelphia,
where people that witnessed the murdering of these children for so long, the nurses and these, God touched their heart. And it's like they were all of a sudden become repulsed by the sin, the evilness. And all of a sudden, this doctor, this murderer's coworkers, suddenly saw him for what he was, and God changed their heart. And I really believe as soon as they saw it, they saw how evil it was, and they turned to God and they wanted to make things right. And if they did, God forgave them
of
that.
Absolutely.
And from what I understand, now as we continue to pray, God's still raining down justice. Tell us what's going on in Houston.
My goodness, in Texas, they are right now investigating an abortionist that has committed the same type of just gruesome late-term abortions.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is horrific. And what happened is exactly what you just talked about, that the staffers that helped to participate in this murder,
right.
You can tell in this interview, we have an interview with them, and this is just them talking their own words. This doctor is being investigated at the moment. He's being investigated at the moment, and they're wanting to investigate because this is happening, late-term abortions, and you got to hear what they're saying. These are eyewitnesses' accounts of three women that saw with their eyes, they've participated, and they also have graphic photos. Photos we don't have available, but their words. Listen to what they have to say.
And, of course, we can't vouch for these women's accuracy. All we can do is just share with you and let you draw your own conclusions.
Correct.
With us.
On May 13th, 2013, Kermit Gosnell, a Pennsylvania abortion doctor, was convicted for murder in the deaths of several children. In that trial, witnesses testified that these babies survived abortions Gosnell was performing, after which he killed them outside the womb. Although the media, in concert with the American abortion lobby, is portraying this as an isolated situation, the pro-life movement has been aware of similar stories for years, and today, additional examples are beginning to emerge. On May 3, 2013, the following interviews were conducted with three recent employees of an abortion clinic located in a different state. Their real names are used in this production, but the identity of the doctor and his facility are being withheld to keep from compromising a criminal investigation into this matter. At the time this video was released, the abortion clinic in question remained open. Warning: this video contains material that is graphic and disturbing, and it is not suited for all audiences. Discretion is strongly advised.
I was an OR assistant. I was basically, I did a lot of parts of the clinic, and one of my jobs was his right chair assistant. And I really didn't, I never paid attention. I did pay attention, but I didn't know that it was illegal. When he did an abortion, especially a over 20-week abortion, most of the time the fetus would come completely out before he either cut the spinal cord or he introduced one of the instruments into the soft spot of the fetus in order to kill the fetus. But I wasn't aware. You know, I thought, well, it's an abortion. You know, that's what he does. But I wasn't aware that it was illegal. And on many occasions, we had fetus that he would use the process as far as, what is it called, where he would dilate the cervix and then evacuate the uterus. And most of the time, we would see him where the fetus would come completely out. And, of course, the fetus would still be alive because it was still moving. And you could see, of course, you could see the stomach breathing. And that's when he would do his, he would snip the spine, as they're saying, that this doctor did. And, of course, the soft spot was one of the spots that he would take the one of the forceps or the, what is it called, the dilators and stick it down the soft spot of the fetus's head.
When you saw this happen?
Oh, yes. I think every morning I saw on several occasions. If we had 20-something patients, of course, maybe 10 or 12 or 13 or 15 patients would be large procedures. And out of those large procedures, I'm pretty sure I was seeing at least 3 to 4 fetus that were completely delivered in some way or another. Because sometimes laminaria causes the cervix to get so soft that you don't need a lot of pulling or anything on it. Once you take that package out, 9 times out of 10, that fetus is ready kind of just to flow from inside of the uterus out into,
When you say package, you mean the laminaria?
The laminaria package insertion, yes,
right.
Sir.
You take that out and the baby's ready to come out.
Yes, sir. As soon as that, or sometimes he would go ahead and bust the water sac, and there you go. You practically had a fetus, in the pan. So.
And you see the baby alive.
Yes, sir.
And him kill that baby outside the womb.
Yes, sir.
And this would be done by jamming some sort of instrument into the
either that or
soft spot
or twisting the head off the neck, kind of with his own bare hands.
And you saw that happen.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So he would twist the head.
Sometimes he would go through the stomach as well.
Sometimes he would do what?
He would like force it through the stomach.
The instrument. Mm-hmm. The is it beards?
And like twist it.
Yeah.
And you another saw that?
Mm-hmm. Anything that he could get to the fastest. Like she said, the umbilical, he was probably perforating the umbilical cord. I normally saw either the snipping of the spine or the introduction of the instrument in the soft spot of the fetus, normally, or twisting of the neck.
Remember, he would put like his finger.
Yeah, or his finger. He'd take his finger and then
through the throat.
Yeah. You remember that the one that he did, that the baby, the fetus came out and it was alive. He had thought he had actually killed it already, and he opened up his eyes and grabbed his hand. His finger. Remember mm-hmm. that one?
No. What happened?
Supposedly they said that it was a botch. And it was a botch abortion. But the fetus was still alive. He thought it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the fetus opened his eyes and actually
grabbed his finger.
Was able to grab his finger. And the whole procedure, I guess, while he's doing the procedure.
He was getting
Because after the fetus, of course, he has to massage the abdomen to bring the placenta down or grab it with the forceps to bring it out.
And this baby was
alive.
Huh?
He was alive.
Well, yeah, he's looking at him grabbing his finger.
Yeah.
He thought he had finished with the baby. It was.
He thought it was diseased.
It was a disease already. He was getting ready to put it in the bag.
Did he talk about that?
One of his employees did. That's how I found out.
He doesn't talk about that. He doesn't make any comments about it.
How did he kill that baby? Do you know?
We found out about it through another employee. I don't think that was said how he killed it. I'm not sure. That must have been a big abortion, though, I believe. Can't really recall, but I know that he does a lot of huge abortions. A lot of the times we would bring the big fetus that were over age, and we would reopen the bag and just look at it and be like, oh, my God, it's so big. You know, we would be amazed how big it was. And we'd be sweating and stuff because it'd take us almost an hour to perform an abortion that big. It's really hard when you only get doing an abortion that big and only dilating with like maybe 13 to 14 laminaries in the cervix. It's kind of hard. Sometimes he couldn't get the fetus out. He would yank piece by piece, yeah, when they were over the size. And I'm talking about the whole floor dirty. I'm talking about me. Drenched in blood. We had several occasions that where women would come in and they would actually be going in labor because that overnight insertion, the package, he might have gone a little bit too far, would put in too many in there, and some women had started to cramp, and mm-hmm. sometimes they would get to the clinic and they would make it to the OR room because they're in a line. And, you know, when they get there, they give them these pills called Cytotec, and they put them in your gums. And it takes, I'm thinking it takes about an hour before you get a full effect, and that makes your uterus start contracting. And so we've seen a lot of cases where women would have to, they felt like they had to push and they had to run to the bathroom and stuff. And on some occasions, we had women that were, the fetus were falling into the toilet. Or they were, or before even getting to the clinic, we had one incident where it was big news, where the fetus was left in the toilet. I don't know if y'all heard of that one. She was at McDonald's. They stopped there in the morning, and the fetus was left in the toilet, and nobody ever found out whose fetus it was, but it was one of his patients. We knew it because we were watching it on the news that day that she was supposed to be in the clinic.
Do you remember that one that she was on her way to the OR, Crystal? She was walking to her OR, and she had it right mm-hmm. there in the hallway.
She had her baby in the hallway?
Yes.
And what happened to that baby?
I wasn't down there when that happened. Were you down there?
He just picked it up with, like, a pad, one of those...
Chucks.
A chuck.
Uh-huh.
And put it in a trash bag.
On some occasions, of course, he pulled out a lot of breech fetus, and their toes would be moving. You know, you mm-hmm. can see the fetus toes moving. And as he would insert the forceps, what are they called, the beards. There's two types. There's the beards, and then there's the sofers. The beards are the ones with the bigger claws, and that's the one he would use to yank the fetus out. And I remember, I have a visual all the time. I always remember this. It's real disturbing to me, where he used to clamp, like push it in, he would hold the fetus by the feet and kind of pull down and insert the claws. And when he would squeeze them, he could see that baby's toes spread open. And I would always say, oh, my goodness. You know, and people say that that they don't feel. Well, if they didn't feel, why would their toes, their toes would be out hanging kind of like in a, what's going on, where am I going? And I remember clearly every time he used to use that instrument, I remember those little toes, opening wide. It was a sad picture. I normally would turn around, kind of just hold and, just turn around until he was finished. And he would do abortions way over 24 weeks. I mean, there's a big difference in a 24-week fetus. And every week from 24 on up, that 1 week is such a big difference. I'm talking about big fetus. I'm talking about being in the OR about an hour trying to do one procedure that big. I'm talking about being really tired after this procedure from where he could not get this fetus out. And it's very overwhelming. We used to look at each other, and sometimes our tears would come out, with the other assistants. Our tears would come out because we would say to ourselves, why? We would always think he's so greedy, And we were not talking about normal price. I'm talking about $4,000, $5,000 for a procedure this big.
As long as the patients had the cash, he was going to do it past the 25 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you ever assist like
yes, I did.
You did? Mm-hmm. What kind of experiences did you have?
The same thing she did is the same thing I did. I would tell Deborah all the time, Deborah, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there. And he would tell me, you can do it. You can do it. If you feel like you just can't look at it, just turn your face.
He wanted me in the phone room because I've always been pretty good at appointments and, talking to people and convincing them to come to the clinic. I just knew my way, as far as talking to patients, being real good convincing patients to make appointments. And so that's when he threw her in the back office, which was OR, sterilization, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, from these large abortions, these botched abortions that he was doing, to hurting the patients on the table, to causing some kind of major problem with the woman's, ripping a uterus and not letting the patients know, trying to stitch them back together and send them home with the package of gauze, and then they come back tomorrow so you could pull it out, but never telling the woman, hey, I ripped your cervix. You need to get some kind of, some kind of special, you need to get that looked at, He would never tell the woman.
And if he had a patient that asked a lot of questions, he'll prefer for them to be put to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Right. Any little comment that she would make as far as if he were on the table, it was his way of making more money, of course, because deep sedation meant dishing out another $200. So if you made, is it going to hurt? I mean, this man would walk out the room and say, Deborah, go talk to her. Tell her she needs to get put to sleep. And normally it was our job to go convince the girl that she had to get put to sleep. And a lot of them raise a lot of hell.
Right.
But they didn't have no choice. They had to do what he said because guess what? You're going to lose $150. In other words, that was $150 that you did not get back. So a lot of them would either lose the $150 or pay the $200 and go ahead and get it over with.
So other employees besides just Deborah and Crystal knew that these sort of things were going on.
Yeah. Everybody there.
Everybody knows. It's an open book.
Yeah. The women that go there have no idea what they're getting themselves into. A lot of the questions have been, does the baby feel? And I think that would make me so mad because I would say, why would that matter to you if you're coming in here to kill your baby? Why ask that question? And of course she would want to say, yeah, it feels, but that wasn't your job to say that. Your job was to whatever it took to get that person in the back,
Horrific interview. It came from theblaze.com, who says they received it from the Houston Chronicles. Is
correct.
That right?
Yeah.
And we're just sharing what they had there. And it's just like, these are the ones that were standing there watching this doc. This is a very important thing. So many people look at someone else, like a doctor, for example, mm-hmm. and they automatically put them in a category that they're not human beings, right. and that they everything they say trumps everything. Mm-hmm. And the thing is they're a human being like you are who chose a profession in the medical industry. You have an obligation to ask questions and to position yourself that you have a full understanding. We don't lay our hands in the hands of a doctor and act as if they are their God.
Right.
And every decision they're going to make, that they didn't have a bad day, that they're not greedy, that they're not, that they, you just can't make all these assumptions. They're just human beings. You got to get to know them a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, get to know them and understand them and talk things through, because I know you were talking about what they just shared on the video was
just horrific. Absolutely horrific.
Well, he would actually put them to sleep so they couldn't, at the end, what was that, were they saying?
These ladies were saying that if the woman who's having the abortion, if she came in and was asking a lot of questions, he didn't like them to ask questions. So he would automatically tell them he wanted them sedated, and then he would step out the room and have the staffers go ahead and convince these ladies to, you know, to pay the extra money and go ahead and be sedated. If they asked if this was going to hurt or what have you, he didn't want them asking any questions. And so it was their job to convince this woman, this young lady, you need to get sedated.
Mm-hmm.
And if she didn't get sedated, she'd lose 100.
Which means you can't ask any questions, so you just got passed. You just passed out from, got drugged up.
You're knocked out.
Right.
Yeah. And if they're reporting and they're saying that many times he would, you know, cause them harm, damage them, hurt them in the process, and he would not inform them or tell them. He would stitch them up, and they'd come the next day to pull out stitches, but he never told them that he cut them. Mm-hmm. Check medical, you know, he just no interest at all.
Well, you know, the I don't know, the thing that shocks me more, you know, I always have a different perspective of things,
mm-hmm.
is like, this is what the word abortion has meant since 1973, since the beginning of
right.
time, and definitely since the 60s when it was being done, and then Roe versus Wade. And this is what's been going on behind those walls. When you see people like Hillary Clinton and other people stand up, and Gloria Steinem, when they're saying that a woman has a right to choose, she's saying a woman has a right to walk into a murder zone, murder killing field like this, and have her baby snatched
mm-hmm.
out of her womb and mutilated, and scissors or whatever stuck up into the gut of the child.
And twisted.
You know, and it's like, this is what's been going on. That's why I can't understand why somebody would stand up and say, hey, I really like that person, and you're a Christian. It's like, I mean, you can love them.
Right.
But openly say, but I can't. I mean, come on. The values that they don't have, that is evil.
Yeah.
That you can kill
mm-hmm.
your own child like that. And then, and so to me, it's like, to be shocked over this is to be more upsetting than the fact that it was going on, because it's 50 million children have been done this way.
Yeah.
At least since 1973. And it's sort of like saying with the Jews in the concentration camps, when it said, you know, prior to me getting a peek inside the camp, it didn't bother me, because they, even though they were killing the Jews and they were putting in them ovens and they were doing all these terrible things to them, experiments and just doing the same kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
nobody responded. The church was silent. Everybody was silent as can be. But all of a sudden, when we look in the camps, you know, they then look at the camps and go, I can't believe this travesty. And it's like, is the shock that they were shocked when they saw it, or is the shock the reality is they live right beside the camp while they were killing these human beings, while they were killing Jews, while the abortion clinic was in your neighborhood and in your city, and you went about your normal life and you never prayed and asked God, dear God, end abortion, end the killing of these children. To me, the greatest shock is the silence. And the, you know, what have you been picturing in your head when you heard the word abortion? I mean, it's murder. Say, what's been going on in your head? How do you think they've been murdering the baby? I'm like, coming from law enforcement, murder happens all kinds of ways, but the end of it is murder. Someone's
That's
dead.
Right. You know, you use these nice terms like clinic. This is not a clinic. This is a slaughterhouse.
Right.
This is not a clinic. When you hear these women testify and they're saying that they were covered in blood.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think of this. It makes me think about Leviticus 18:21, when God says, you know, do not sacrifice your children to Molech or Moloch. And he says that this defames him by doing this. And back then, of course, you're looking at more than likely a stone on top of a mountain where they would lay the child and they would kill the child. So that the particular place that they would lay this child was on a rock. What's the big difference? Whether what particular mineral the altar is made out of?
That's right.
Is it made
right.
out of metal? Is it made out of plastic? Is it made out of, you know, stone?
Right.
When you go look at these clinics, these murder zone, the sacrifice, the altars that sacrifice children to Moloch, it just happens to be instead of a rock, they're killing this baby on a plastic metal table. And they're sacrificing at the end of the day. This is what she just said. It's what she just said. If you missed it, you can catch it by going to the torch of VFNTV.com and watch firsthand these ladies, which we received this from the Blaze.
Right.
And say at the end of the day, they were covered with blood. Well, what do you think it looked like when they finished sacrificing children to Moloch? What have we been picturing all along?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, after killing people, and if you kill people all day long, since life's in the blood and blood's in their bodies, then that means the people who were the priests to Moloch and sacrificing these children, they're covered in blood at the end of the day. This is the shocker. It didn't cross your mind that killing a child is bad. It didn't cross your mind that killing your child is bad for the God of convenience, and it just wasn't right, wasn't the right time for you.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. Most of the reasons why, and you can see this on the torch under the article post that was done by abortionist Kermit Gosnell, guilty in the death of three babies, is it has the stats down there. Most people decide to kill their child and sacrifice the Moloch because it's just not the right timing for them.
Right.
It's inconvenient. It wasn't in their vision, as one of the particular now directors of the Life organization in Georgia is doing. It's like it's she's covered in blood at the end of the day. How could that be right? And now this abortionist in
Texas
in Houston, and that's where as soon as I believe that our current president was getting in office for the first time, they began to build a huge altar to Moloch.
Yeah.
A big, huge clinic. They were going to, and right by an African American or Hispanic community.
Hispanic community.
And they were going to begin to sacrifice Hispanic, which is, by the way, Hispanic families are like the healthiest families in America.
Yeah.
They have a low suicide rate. They have a good family rate. They have all these different, and here's like, now Satan's wanting to sit there and put a clinic in right by the healthy part of our nation, and family-wise, and wanting to begin to kill their children. And it's like the offense of that, that. And, of course, Lou Engle went out there with a call, and they prayed outside of it to come down. I just believe in justice is, you know, coming.
Amen. And to think, you know, just to think, you know, thank God that these women and these staffers are coming forth, and we pray for more of them to come forth.
Right.
You know, obviously God is doing something, and prayers are being answered. And it took tremendous boldness and courage. I mean, they didn't hide their faces. They told it exactly like it was. And you know what? For so long, people have turned their heads. Believers have turned their heads.
50 million babies 50, murdered.
50 million. We've calculated the population, lowest population states, that represents half of the country.
Half of the nation's been murdered.
Murdered.
Half of the nation, if you match the numbers and compare it, it would be like half of America's been murdered.
And that blood is crying out.
Yeah.
You know, you can cover it. You can take a baby and put it in a bag. I mean, one of the horrific stories that she shares is that when this doctor, I hate to use that name.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a clinic, it's a slaughterhouse.
Right.
He's a murderer.
Yeah.
When this murderer.
And the assistants are like priests.
Yeah.
You know, they're all like priests to Satan.
Yeah.
Moloch.
Yeah. When he thought that the baby was already murdered and killed, and he was about to discard the baby reaches out and grabs his finger.
And opens his eyes. And the baby opens his eyes and grabs his hand, the baby's eyes.
Yeah.
Think about it. He's looking at you.
Is
how could you? That's how evil.
Evil and greed.
Which proves that's a priest of Satan.
Yeah.
He's held captive to sacrifice for idolatry reasons and greed and whatever, but the driving thing is just Satan using them held captive to destroy 50 million children. While we allow people to stand up like Hillary Clinton, like Gloria Steinem, like all this crew today that's saying, hey, we have a right to choose. Like, to choose to kill?
The Hippocratic Oath that the doctors do no harm.
Do no harm, right.
Do no harm.
And not only that, but the Constitution that people are saying is constitutional right, the preamble says it's actually for these children's sake that we're supposed to be. One of the benefits and the purposes of the Constitution is for those that come after us.
Yes.
And we're killing off those that comes after us. And I think about this. I think about, when Hitler and they were taking the Jews and they were gathering them up and they were putting them in the camps and trains and all this kind of stuff and taking them to kill them. That trains would pass by churches, reportedly church gatherings and buildings, whatever, and they heard the screaming from the trains. They heard the screaming from the trains, and so they turned their music up louder. They made their music louder so they couldn't hear the distraction from what was going on. How many people have just got busy with whatever and distracted themselves from this tragedy taking place in America? My concern, if you have not yet watched Josiah on VFN TV at VFNTV.com. You got to see it because we are Josiah. We are like the kings that issue edicts that it's happening because we're allowing it to happen because we can vote any which way we want to. People
that's
our values. And the innocent bloodshed, this is what God told Josiah. He said, okay, I will give you a reprieve here because you're a cool king and you did what was right and everything. He said, but because of all the innocent blood shed that the one that before you shed from the northern all over the land, that I'm going to have to take this thing out. And this is Israel. I'm going to take Israel out. And it was moments away from Jehoiakim, which is high taxation and oppression with Egypt, to Babylonian captivity. And it began as soon as that's why they cried when Josiah died. Because this is like, we're going in now.
This is that.
And so our hope is this. This is our hope, and we're about to go to a break, but our hope is this. Our hope is that God heard our prayers, God is showing us mercy, and that he would allow us, just like Josiah, to say, you know what, God, we've sinned against you. We've allowed this. We've done it. It's wrong. It's murder. God, forgive us. Give us time to preach your word and to teach your word and begin to live a right life and bring glory to your name, to return a third great awakening to this land. Justice is raining down. Justice is raining down, and we're starting to see at this very moment major things take place that we were really hoping that would happen, happen soon. And as we're going to talk a little bit, we got some things coming up even more in this line. But I wanted to be able to share with you. Let's talk about this rap, man. It's like this spoken word.
Yeah. Well, everything that's happening with the abortion, it's speaking to so many people. I mean, people are awakening, believers are awakening and saying, listen, we need to stand for life, we need to stand for God, and we can no longer close our eyes. Mm-hmm. And you remember we had the rep, he's a rapper, gave his life to the Lord, just amazing testimony of this young man, and he actually wrote this song, this rap song, from the perspective of a child. You really got to hear it. It's touching. The lyrics are amazing, and it really gives you perspective on what's happening from a baby's perspective in God's heart. Listen up.
8:59 p.m. It's me. I just picked up a pregnancy test. It came out positive. Give me a call back when you get this message.
Message deleted.
Mommy, I'm only 5 weeks old, but I can feel my heart. The doctor says I'll see you in November, but we're still in March. And by the way, mommy, what the doctor says a lie. You don't have to worry, cause my body's developing just fine. So please tell daddy that he doesn't have to cry no more. Jesus finished with my brain, he's working on my spinal cord. Besides, not everything is always what it seems. Why you think that when you dream, you wake up, don't know what it means. So tell the world to give you space and just let you breathe. Remember, God loves you so much that he sent you me. Sometimes you gotta laugh it off and just let it be, like when you thought I was a girl and painted my new bedroom pink. I heard you cry when daddy's diamond bezeled ring slid it off your fingers and went right down that restroom sink, and you and daddy began to argue for the next 2 weeks, but I don't know what the problem is anymore, so I guess it's me.
This is your fault, I told you, but you just denied it.
Leave me alone, get out of my face, just be quiet.
control. And you're like, no, we can do without it. And now?
Now I'm pregnant. So what do you want me to do about it?
You're going to go to the doctors and have them take it out.
No.
You crazy? We can't afford the payments that we're making now. Oh, this was meant to be.
What?
Why we've been going through it. Don't you get it? The wedding ring? You were supposed to lose.
Mommy, just think. All we got is 6 more months. I can't wait for you to hold me. Why you think I keep your stomach? You must be proud because the nurse keeps taking pictures of me. Please tell daddy that I love it every time he kiss your tummy. But lately, mommy, honestly, I've been feeling funny. Ever since you left your job, got fired just for stealing money. And daddy says the cost of parenting is really something. So I can't help but wonder, do you even really want me? But that's not all, because yesterday I heard you scream when daddy said he's leaving you and marriage was a worthless dream. He was a big meanie, he said a lot of hurtful things, but I still remember the one verse that you used to sing, that I'm your sunshine, another could take the sun away, and that I make you happy even when the skies are gray. But if I'm inside of you, then why do I feel miles away? Am I really in your womb or just swimming in my grave?
Victoria?
Yes.
I like your name.
Thank you.
The doctor will see you now. Please write this way.
I'm Dr. Ross. This will literally take half a second. I got your chart. Looks good. I just have some questions. So you're 3 months pregnant?
Yeah.
Well, it barely shows, and you left this part blank. Are you married?
No.
Now, are you sure you want to do this? Don't feel pressured.
Well.
Great. So next week, same time. It was a real pleasure. Yesterday, you were at the doctor's office, and I was forced to listen. I heard you tell him that you really can't afford his visits. You said a lot of things that kind of had me sort of tripping. Mama, I got a question. What is an abortion clinic? And why do you keep crying? What did I do to you? I think I get it now. You don't really want me, do you? I'll be good, I promise. Please let me just have a chance. I'll clean my room, I swear. You won't even have to ask. But wait a minute, mama. This just sound kind of silly. You don't want me, so you're gonna pay some guy to kill me? $500? Is that all I'm worth to you? What if grandma had this done before she ever gave birth to you? And let me guess, daddy's gonna help you pay for this. I'm sorry I'm an inconvenience. I'm just a waste of skin. I'ma be with Jesus. He'll find me a place to live. I pray for you. You pray too, that he'll wash away your sins.
I love you, Mom. Everything's gonna be okay, okay? God has a plan for us. I know because he told me. He loves you, Mommy. He talks about you all the time. Smile, because Jesus loves you.
Dear God. Dear God. Have mercy on us, God.
Yes, Lord.
My sunshine, my only have mercy. Sunshine. You make me happy. My skies are great. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Dear God, end abortion.
Yes, Lord.
Send revival.
Yes, God.
End abortion.
Send
revival. Well, the doctor just got sentenced, Dr. Gosnell, and I want you to hear this from CBN News. And then we're going to, if you've gone through this or you're about to go, we have good news for you that there's somewhere you can get a hold of at Bethany. But listen up first. This is CBN News, the sentencing, 3 life sentences for Gosnell.
A judge sentenced abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell to a third life sentence Wednesday. Earlier this week, Gosnell was convicted of first-degree murder in the deaths of 3 babies who were born alive at his clinic. His 3 life sentences offer no chance at parole, and that means the 72-year-old will spend the rest of his life in prison. Jurors said that Gosnell's greed played a big part in their decision.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Yes.
Absolutely horrible. But the justice has been served.
Yes.
3 life sentences.
Yes.
He's not going to come out, and he's no longer going to commit these murders. You know,
every murderer be stopped.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, Lord. You know, you might have been listening today, and someone turned you on to VFN radio, and you're listening, and maybe you've had an abortion. Let me tell you that God can forgive you. But you got to confess it for what it is. It's murder. And maybe you're pregnant now. And maybe you've thought, how can I have this baby? And what am I going to do? Let me tell you something. That God loves you. You're not listening to the VFN radio program today by accident. God has led you to this moment. Why? Because God loves you. God loves your baby. And there's help for you. There's help for you. There's an organization called Bethany Christian Services. And there are many good organizations that are available for you. And we're going to listen to a little video about that Bethany Christian Services put together that's really going to help you to understand a little bit of what they do. Listen up.
Mm-hmm.
Pregnancy counseling is coming alongside of a woman wherever she is in the journey of an unplanned pregnancy, whether that's her determining to parent her child or to make an adoption plan. It's walking beside her in that journey. The thing that makes Bethany different is that it's Christ-centered and we're able to bring our faith into the work that we do.
I think that in the beginning, when we started with Bethany and finding out what we were going to do, I think at first we were both really nervous and not expecting it. We were expecting what was going to happen. And I feel like Bethany cares a lot about the birth parents and the children for a lot for some reason. I feel like, you know, they'll help the birth parents through anything.
They have a really warming feeling when you walk into that office and talk to one of those counselors. The feeling you get is just warmth and care.
When a woman comes to us, one of the first things we do with them is working through a pro and con list and helping them to make a list that comes right from their own life and their own set of circumstances and helping them to put that down on paper so that they can see, this is my reality. We try to be that neutral party.
In speaking to a Bethany counselor, they told me about adoption and more specifically open adoption, where I would be able to stay in contact with the family that adopts my child and also with the child, actually. If I didn't have the Bethany counselor to tell me about all these things, then I probably would not have gone through with adoption. It definitely gave me a view into some of the feelings and emotions that I would have as I was going through the pregnancy and what I would feel after the pregnancy as well.
Being in high school, it was really difficult for me to continue my life, just pretend like everything was normal. Turning to Bethany, I was able to talk to a counselor. I was able to hear about my ideas. They weren't telling me what I needed to do, saying this is what you need to do, but they were saying, explore all your options first before you go and make a decision.
Relationships take time, and they allow people to gain a trust for one another that they didn't have prior to that. And you really need that in order to be able to come into this kind of situation. You need to build a trusting relationship where they know they can expect from you quality services that are going to help them to complete the plan that they want to complete for their child.
Bethany Christian Services.
God loves women who have killed their babies and the men who have participated in it. Let me tell you, God loves you. We're going to have resources available for you on the torch. But God loves you. He can forgive you. Turn your heart to God. Seek His way, and He'll lead you in the way you need to go.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.